Yeah, you're good.
Oh, I'm good. Oh, okay.
No, you're fine.
All right, kiddos, line up. We got a bunch of friends from CBS, and we think I've learned four songs super fast. I'm so impressed. I think my voice is going to be and they know all of it. All of those things are different. Okay, we're out.
Thank you.
Great job, kids. You did a great job to start this service, and I just want to thank you once again for all the energy, joy, and laughter that you've brought us this week. A few announcements before we get started. Emily and I just wanted to say thank you once again for such a warm welcome this past Sunday when I was installed. And we truly have been blessed with a great community here, and we feel right at home. And we want to thank you for making us feel so welcome. Let's take a moment. If I could ask all of our BBS volunteers to stand up for a second. Anybody who helped, anybody who participated. And let's give them a round of applause, because they were fantastic this week. You may be seated. But seriously, it was a great week. Everybody participated. The kids brought a lot of life, and it's exactly how you want to spend your time with the youth of our church. A few announcements. Next week, we'll have our covered dish meal right after worship. It'll be our town hall meeting, just a chance to talk about what's going on in the life of our church, to see what's going on in our own lives, and a chance to experience ourselves as a community of faith. I ask you to hold in prayer this week, Camp Tar Hollow. Emily and I will actually be leaving right after the service with Jacob, and we will be there with over 80 campers. I checked last, and that number keeps rising, and it's going to be a great experience. It's 7th grade through 21, and it's a lot of young people getting to journey together with each other and getting to experience faith in a fun and safe environment. That also means that I will be out of office this week, so if there are any pastoral care concerns, please get in touch with one of our elders. We do have a pastor from another community who is on call in case any emergency arrives, so please don't hesitate to get in touch with one of our elders while I'm gone. And on August 5th, Forever Family will be having their end of summer bash from noon to 4 at Camp Zimmerman. I think that'll be a great opportunity for anybody who's looking for some fun and food. And these are the announcements. Does anybody else have any other announcements at this time? Okay. Yeah, if you have any questions about Forever Family, go contact Amy.
Let's all stand up and greet one another in Christian fellowship. That's okay, not a problem. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Let us join together with our call to worship. Let us worship the God of living water. Their thirst for God never be quenched. May God use the mighty staff of Moses in our own lives to see us through the storms of our own lives. May God bring us closer to what makes us disciples of Christ. And may God help us leave behind that which causes us to stumble from our righteous path. Brothers and sisters, for what purpose are we created? To share the water of life and love the God with all whom we encounter. Please remain standing and turn to hymn number 659, As a Mother Holds Her Baby. Thank you.
You may be seated. In our prayers this week, we uplift the joy. We celebrate the 70th wedding anniversary of Willie and Doris Gardner, Linda Karcher's parents. They are celebrating today with Angie and the whole family, and it's going to be a wonderful celebration of 70 years of marriage. I asked them what the plate was for 70 years or the special, and I don't even think it went up that high. That's how long those two have been married. What a blessing. In our prayers, we also uplift Marcia Bigler, who was in a car accident last week, along with Sarah Bigler. Marcia is still unresponsive and in the ICU, and Sarah is out of the hospital, but she's still dealing with a lot of the emotional scars that a car accident can bring. We also uplift Tammy Roth, Janet West's niece, and she's in the University Hospital in Cleveland. She's too weak to do surgery, so we just bring prayers of comfort and peace to surround that family and let them know that God is with them. We uplift Tar Hollow. We have so many great campers coming out to support the young people, so many volunteers who are taking a week off of work to spend it in the mud and the sun of camp, and it's going to be a great time, and I ask that you uplift this camp in prayer and keep them with joy and laughter. We also uplift Judy and Jill White. They are unrelated, but both had a husband pass away this week. Judy lost her husband, Roger. Jill lost her husband, Dick. And we also pray for Charlotte Potts, who is waiting on a liver transplant. And I'd also like to uplift one of my colleagues in ministry, Pastor Katie Vanderlinden. She is surrogating twins, and they were born early at 24 weeks. One of the young boys passed away, but the other one is fighting, and we just continue to surround that baby with love and peace and know that God will be there. Let's take a moment to quiet our hearts and open ourselves to God. God, we come before you today with so much to be thankful for the laughter of children, for the love of this community, for all the blessings and gifts you bestow upon us. We are truly grateful. But gracious God, we know that sometimes this can be a difficult world, that there are people hurting that are in need of you. God, help them to see that you are a God who is seeking them as much as they are seeking you. Be with the hungry, the sick, those in need of faith, love, friendship. God, help us to be your hands and feet on this earth. God, we uplift Tar Hollow. Please help the young people of our church. Help them to see that they can turn to you with any need. Also help all of us. Help this VBS community. Help these children to see that they are a part of the loving care of God. And no matter what they do, there is nothing they can do to escape that. And God, help that trickle down to us adults. Help us to see that you are the living water of life, and that if we turn to you, we will never go thirsty. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 65. Praise awaits. You are a God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answers prayers to all. To you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live into our courts. We are filled with the good things of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where heaven fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench it furrows and level it ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grassland of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are mated with grain. They shout for joy and sing. The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 5. At the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly portion of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me."
I'd like to invite all the children to come forward for the children's lesson. Oh, you guys give me one space right here and you'll be good. Very good. Good morning. You guys did a great job of singing. So let's do a little review. What did you guys learn this week at BBS?
Nothing.
No, what'd you learn? Your grandma's watching you. What'd you learn? Nick, what did we learn? Feet, washing feet. Anything else? What else did we learn? About Moses parting the Red Sea. Ian? Water. We learned a lot about water this week, didn't we? We learned that Jesus is the water of life, that if we turn to him, we never go thirsty, and important things like that. And water was such a huge part of how we worship as Christians. It's very symbolic for another act. What's an important act that we do when we bring a baby to church? And they're welcomed into our church community. Baptism. And remember, what was the other way we said we looked at baptism? It's a what? A pinky promise?
Yeah, pinky promise.
Yeah, we make a pinky promise with God that we are going to be disciples. And not only are we making that promise when we're baptized, but the church is making that promise to say that they're going to take care of us as disciples, that they're all going to watch over us and be like almost like we have 100 parents watching over us, helping us. So what I want to talk to you guys now is to culminate our VBS. How much water do I have in this bowl right now? Not a lot of water. I got a little sprinkle of water. And this symbolizes that when Jesus became a pastor, when he decided to do ministry, everybody came up to him and was very negative about the small acts of kindness that they were doing. And they told him that what he did, healing the sick, healing the blind, helping those who were mistreated and bullied, they told him what he did will just be a drop in the ocean. that it won't amount to anything. So I want to do something with you guys. I want to show you what a little drop can turn to if you allow it to grow in love and light. So what I want you to do is to follow me and get into a single file line. Come right here. And I want you each to pretend one of these, every time you put a cup in, get in a single file, Brandon, and I want you to pour it in, and I want you to pretend that's an act of kindness that you did this week for somebody. Aiden, go ahead. Good job. I think that one's empty. Hold on, let me get you a full one. There you go. And you can just hold on to your empty cups. I can collect them. Aiden, you want to... Let's see what I got. Ian, here we go. Aiden, you can keep working. We don't have enough cups for everyone, so. Or we do. Brandon? Guys, can you guys back up? We got to let somebody else go. We got to share the cup of water. Aubrey, you want to dump it in? Let's get, everybody get one? I think we got them all. Everybody sit back down now. Good job, Aiden. Thanks for your help, buddy. Let's sit back down. I'll stand. So what happened, guys, what happened to our little drop of water? Did it grow? It got bigger? It turned into a little ocean. Why did it get bigger? And what was our water symbolic for? Love. So look at how love grows. One drop at a time. It can turn into a tidal wave or an ocean capable of changing the world. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He changed the world with his love. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray, guys. Let's hold our hands. Gracious God, we come before you thankful for these children. They are the leaders of our church. With laughter and love, they bring us great joy and abundance. Help us to follow in their footsteps and live our life in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. As a husband of 2 months, I'm learning very quickly that when I come up with a good idea, that the first thing I should do is ask Emily how to do it. So I think I learned that in my children's lesson today. VBS is a wonderful time in the life of a church. It is where laughter and joy can be felt throughout our building. Children are the lifeblood of our world. Jesus said in our gospel lesson today, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." This is a revolutionary statement by Jesus in the location that he's living in. In the ancient world, children had little value until they made it through childhood. They were susceptible to diseases and infections, and there were little defenses for those at the time. In the ancient world, children did not have value until they proved they were strong enough to live and contribute. But Jesus turns this notion upside down. He said, "You must be a child in order to see the kingdom of God." For Jesus, the vulnerability of children is a strength. So the question we as a community of faith should ask ourselves is, what does Jesus mean when he said we should become like children? See, I do not think Jesus is talking about giving up adult responsibilities. Jesus still wants us to pay the bills, raise our children, and be mature adults. See, what I think Jesus is talking about, he's saying, talking about not just maturity, but awareness, becoming aware like a child. See, children believe in themselves. They believe in the gifts God gave them. One of my favorite writers, Terry Hershey, in his blog Sabbath Moment, tells the story of asking a group of kindergartners if they are artists. All of them shoot their hands up in the air and they say, "Yes, I am an artist." He then asked the elementary school kids, "How many of you kids are artists?" And about half of them raised their hand in the air. He then asked the junior high and the high schoolers if any of them are artists. And there's a few meek hands that go in the air. He then turns to the adults and asks them, and no one raises their hand. It's like somebody put cement bricks in their hand. See, children believe with conviction that they were born artists. Pablo Picasso famously said, "Everyone is born an artist. The challenge is staying one." Because if you ask a 7-year-old what they want to be when they grow up, they will very likely tell you the President of the United States, a doctor, a professional athlete, a movie star, or anything they can think of. See, oftentimes, we as adults are afraid to answer the question, what do we want to be? What do you want to be? Because our fear of rejection and failure can often leave us blind or doubting the gifts that God gave us. See, a kid is not afraid to fall off his bike, swing for the fences and strike out, risk starting a new friendship on the playground. See, children teach us that falling down and failing can be difficult. However, being too afraid to try, that can be infinitely worse. See, the philosopher Plato said, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy is when a person is afraid of the light. The real tragedy is when the person is afraid of light." See, a kid can turn any opportunity into laughter or a game. It's not uncommon to see a group of kids start a game with just their imaginations. McKenna gave the kids hula hoops on the first day of VBS, and it did not take long for a hula hoop fort to be built. And it did not take long on our Friday night movie night for McKenna to find herself covered in stickers by the end of that movie. How many stickers did she have on her, Becky? A lot. See, one of my favorite theologians said, "God created us because he thought we might enjoy it. God created you because he thought you might enjoy it." And nobody understands this better than children. See, they view love in abundance and not in scarcity. They realize that sharing God's love, it's like enjoying the hot sun on a beautiful summer day. Just because we share it does not mean that we receive any less of it. See, I'm still amazed at how quickly a child can go from having their feelings hurt, in a biblical sense, have that weeping and gnashing of the teeth, just ugly crying. And within minutes, those crocodile tears are traded in and forgotten for the next go-around on the swing set. See, how long does it take us as adults to let go of something that wounds us? I personally have a lot to learn from children in this department, because bitterness looks good on none of us. And children, they're not afraid to say, I don't know, or can you help me? They realize they don't have to be an expert in everything. We as adults often get a sense of satisfaction from helping a child. Yet our pride as adults can often hinder us from asking help from other adults. We are all under the illusion that we are supposed to pretend like we know what we are doing. See, Emily and I talk about this often. There are so many questions that come up for us when you are in your mid-20s and you are living in your first house. Neither one of us have a lot of experience organizing a kitchen, securing a car loan, picking out curtains or drapes, any of that fun stuff like that. See, and it's a problem that in this day and age can easily be solved by asking Google. It takes 2 seconds. But I am sure that our parents still appreciated getting a call asking for advice, even though my in-laws keep suggesting those awful Yankee pinstripes for drapes. So I'm just, we're going to let that advice go in one ear and out the other. So, see, for parents, and I'm sure many of you are in that in-between stage where you have children and you also have parents who are still living. And I think you know as well as anybody that it's nice to be reminded that all your wisdom has not been replaced by Google, that somebody can come to you and ask you for help. Because none of us are too old to ask for help. And we also remember today that children are spiritual beings. Not that they will be, but that they are right now exactly as they are. See, Zinzendorf, the leader responsible for the renewal of the Moravian Church, took the spiritual nourishment of children seriously. If a child asks you a question about faith and spirituality, you were expected to take it seriously. One of the many nicknames for Zinzendorf was Papa. He really believed that child could see God exactly as they were. And he wasn't the only Moravian. Going back to the old Unity of the Brethren, one of our bishops is named John Amos Comenius. And Comenius is considered the father of modern education. And Comenius was actually, he's considered the guy that made having pictures in books a very important part of learning, because he realized that kids just didn't learn with their ears, but they learned with all 5 senses. And Comenius would actually, when he would build a school, he would put a garden in it, because he thought it was important that kids got the chance to get their hands dirty, to play with what they were talking about, and get to experience learning. And he believed that if you couldn't explain to a child why what you were teaching them was important, then they shouldn't have to bother learning it. He took that very seriously. So today, during our love feast, we give thanks to the heritage of our Moravian history that values education, and we also give thanks to our future, the kids that are already building our church up this week. We give thanks for the spiritual impact of all these young people. For this past week of VBS, they have filled our halls with joy, curiosity, playfulness, conviction, and kind-heartedness. They truly are spiritual mentors for all of us. Brothers and sisters, if we want to truly participate in the kingdom of God on earth, then we should look to follow in the footsteps of our children. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks today for the young people in our church and for all the people who nourish them and remind them that they are loved by you, Creator, and loved by this community. God, help us to become more childlike in how we approach you. Help us to approach you with awe and wonder and joy in our heart. But we know, God, you created us so that we can enjoy this creation, so that we can enjoy you. So help us to be the best kind-hearted, childlike souls we can be. In your name we pray. Amen. We now turn our hearts to our love feast. Let us join together now in our blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless thy loved ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. We go to our last song. I just wanted to our Collecting the Cups song, Jesus Makes My Heart Rejoice. I want to tell you, there's a Moravian tradition, kids, that on the third verse, when it says, should not I for gladness leap, we all leap up and jump up. So I'm going to need you kids, when that verse happens, to jump for joy. So let's all stand for this hymn so our kids get an opportunity to stretch it out. Before I begin with our benediction, I just want to invite all our young families to come back again. You bring so much energy and life to our worship space. You're always welcome here. And even if you are noisy sometimes, you call the hearing impaired pastor, so you can deal with it. I can just turn it off. And but seriously, they bring so much joy to this place. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
wanna jump, jump, jump. It's gonna make you wanna move, move, move. Throw your hands to the roof, roof, roof. Can you feel the joy? It's gonna make you wanna jump, jump, jump. It's gonna make you wanna move, move, move. Throw your hands to the roof, roof, roof. You gotta know that God is always by your side. If you're feeling down, look around. Come and enjoy your life.
Wanna move, move, move. Throw your hands to the roof, roof, roof.